The views expressed on the Making It Matter podcast are that of Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests, and not necessarily those of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Nothing in the Making It Matter podcast should be considered medical advice. Such advice can only be given by a physician who is experienced with cystic fibrosis. The Boomer Esiason Foundation, Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests cannot be held responsible for any damage which may result from using the information on this podcast without the permission of your medical doc. You're listening to the Making It Matter podcast with Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com.
Hey there, it's Gunnar Esiason, and thanks for joining Julie and I for episode 22 of the Making It Matter podcast series, Cystic Fibrosis in the Workplace.
Hi everyone, Making It Matter is a weekly podcast presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com, highlighting the challenges that people with CF face and the people who face them.
Since Julie and I both have cystic fibrosis, we remain compliant with the National Cystic Fibrosis Guidelines regarding patient interaction and cross-infection by recording via Skype. This podcast was made possible by Novartis, Vertex Pharmaceuticals, and the Digital Credit Union. So a big thanks to all of them for continually supporting the Boomer Esiason Foundation educational programs. So, Julia, today's question comes by way of a question on GunnarEsiason.com, actually, on our last podcast. Mm-hmm. The question is, well, it comes from the mother of a son with CF, and she asks, how or when do you inform a new employer of your CF? So this is a bit of a complex topic, I think, but it's definitely something that needs to be discussed because people with CF should find work, and they should work, I think, and they definitely, now that we have advancing technologies and medicines, we are able to contribute to society in more ways than one, and one of those ways is by joining the workforce. So here's the question. How do you inform a new employer of your CF? Or beyond that, do you even inform your new employer of your CF? So let's draw back on a few experiences that you and I have had. I know your career path is definitely a little different than my career path, but that also brings a nice little juxtaposition to the conversation here. So let's start with, let's go chronologically. So the first job that I ever actually had was, I was an intern at a basketball game for CBS Sports, and whether or not I had CF didn't really matter, so I didn't tell anyone. That just didn't really matter.
So did you have like 9 to 5 days?
It was honestly just like a 1 or 2 time thing. It just didn't really matter. Like I just showed up and I did my like little responsibility. I must have been 18.
Okay.
I was definitely 18 years old, and it just didn't really matter. Like I mean, I knew what I was doing. It was easy enough, and I just went and I made my $40 or whatever it was for 6 hours of work as a little intern. You know, that's all it was. So there's jobs like that where you don't really have to tell anyone. Or for our younger audience out there, there's certainly tasks like that where it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, for sure. My first internship, I did not disclose, and it was like a 9 to 5 day, but I just, you know, figured out how to work my treatments into that schedule. And
what would you do?
I did get like a nice lunch break too. So
any intern probably does.
Should. So I was able to just get everything done. So that didn't seem necessary to me then. But like the very first job that I had was when I moved to LA and was recording music, and I did not tell my producers. And then my lung partially collapsed, at which point I had to tell my producers. So I think, you know, basing your decision to disclose it on a need to know basis is okay too. I mean, that didn't, you know, they were willing to wait for me to get better. And in that case, it didn't really cause a huge problem that I didn't initially disclose it. It, you know, pushed back some things production wise, but that happens all the time anyway for various reasons. So I do think it depends on the, you know, the kind of job you're doing, the kind of work you're doing, and what's expected of you in the office. I think for some people, they also feel like maybe they don't want to disclose it because they don't want their work to be discounted in any way, or also to be pitied, or thought of as not able to handle as much.
Yeah, it certainly brings upon a question of ethics, right? So let's say you're an employer and there's two people that come to you for a job interview, all right? Mm-hmm. And both people are equally qualified. They're equal across the board. They went to similar colleges. They had similar educational backgrounds. They have similar skills. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, they are two similar people. The only difference is that job, or I guess interviewee B, has cystic fibrosis, whereas interviewee A does not. How is the interviewer supposed to decide between the two? Is cystic fibrosis looked upon as a negative or a positive in that situation? I think it's quite difficult to...
I think it's hard to... I think for anyone to act like they had that answer would be premature and unfair, I think, to both candidates. Like, I don't necessarily think that it should come into play in that moment, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think as someone going to interview for a job, I probably would withhold the fact that I had... although, I mean, I say this, but... Obviously, you can Google Gunnar Esiason, and that would very easily come up. But I would say, just for the sake of an argument, I think I would withhold the information that I had CF going to an interview. Once that I knew that I had the job, I think it's important to be fair with your employer. You know, so let's look at, you know, here's my example. I coach high school. I work in high school athletics, and obviously, I am responsible for 15 to 20 kids on a given day. And right now it's hockey season. I used to coach football, but now I just coach hockey. And I am responsible for these kids on game days, practice days, or whatever else it may be called upon me to take responsibility. So I made it abundantly clear to the administration of the school that I was interviewing with that I have CF, and there will be days when I am not feeling well. Because I just knew that, I know that's going to happen. It's a reality of living with cystic fibrosis. So I made that clear because I felt that it was the right thing to do before I was signed on and I got the job. Mm-hmm. I made it clear that I have CF and there might be days when I may have to either miss, or there might be days when I have to come in late, or there may be days when I may not be able to perform to the best of my ability given how I am feeling. So I think that's something that I, at least personally, that I felt was important in getting the job and understanding the responsibilities of the job, both as the employee and as my employer.
Yeah, certainly. I think in that instance and in a number of cases, it would make sense to disclose. And also for your own health's sake, understanding what would be expected of you and what is and is not acceptable in that role.
Exactly. And you know, the employer of the high school has obviously been sympathetic to me having CF. I've been working there for 4 years since I graduated college. And I've taken on other coaching jobs, responsibilities, whether that be with youth hockey organizations or whatever. I've done camps, clinics, things like that. And every time I've taken on one of those jobs, the employer has been sympathetic to my CF, understanding that there is something that could potentially prevent me from performing the task that is handed to me. Now, my other job is that, really my full-time job, is working with the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Obviously, they're sympathetic there.
Yeah.
I mean, how could we not be? So, that is, in many ways, a result of me trying to go out and find a job to a employer that I know would be sympathetic to my situation. Now, here's the other example that I have for today's podcast. When I graduated college, or when I was about to graduate college, I had this plan on going off to law school and studying the law for some reason. That was my little goal that I set for myself. You know, I was studying for the LSATs. I was making sure I was taking all the right classes. I was getting all the right grades. That was my goal for my junior year and throughout my senior year. My senior year, it became pretty clear to me that I was getting very sick while away at school. It just so happened I had pneumonia twice in each, one in each, once in each lung. It was just a disaster over a course of like 6 months. And it became quite clear to me that I was not going to be able to go to law school because I had to come home and get back on my feet before I could even think about maintaining a real career. So I made the decision that, you know, working in the field of law probably is not something that I can do. because those are incredibly long hours once you're beyond law school. I mean, those are like 18-hour days. That's crazy. Is that really something that someone with CF at, for me at that point in my life, when I knew that my health was really lacking, was that something that was a smart idea for me? No, I don't think it was.
Right. Yeah, I think assessing where you can fit and work to the best of your ability is probably a hard thing to do, especially if it's something that you're passionate about, but also just a smart thing for the long term in general. And I think for me, my passions have always been more, have lended themselves more to freelance work, which benefits.
Which is fine because you're basically making your own schedule.
Yes, exactly.
But as long as you're able to sustain yourself and your career and your passions and your goals and your dreams and your lifestyle with that work, then that means you're doing something fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So I, you know, whether it's been modeling or hosting, you know, I usually work with a different boss when I go in on any given day, really. And for those jobs, because it's typically a 1 or 2 or 3 day thing, I won't disclose my CF because I can usually manage it on my own and arrive and deliver and go back home and do my thing. So I think, yeah, there is another case where it just depends on the nature of the work.
It definitely does. Like, could you imagine yourself being like the Wolf of Wall Street? Could you like imagine living that lifestyle? But for me personally, I know that I would last maybe 6 months and then it would be over. There would be no way that I could fulfill the demand of those crazy, impossible work hours and stress levels that Wall Street bankers go through on a given day. It's just there's, you know, growing up from in this part of New York, you know, a lot of people that I grew up with have gone off to that career path. I just wasn't really in the cards for me.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not that's like a good thing or a bad thing, I have no idea. But that's just,
and it's a tough,
exactly.
It's but tough for them too.
It's tough like for anyone. That. But here's another thing. Like, say, could I have been a nurse or a doctor with CF? Like, even despite my CF, you know, is that a risk that I would be willing to take to be in the hospital every single day?
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably not. There are people, there are people with CF who choose those career paths, and it's great for them. That's their choice. But is that something that I was really considering? No, I don't think so. Despite my inherent knowledge and love of the field, I probably had to push that to the side.
Right. Yeah, I thought too about like being a child life specialist, which I've talked about a number of times. But yeah, exposing myself on that level on a daily basis was not something that I actually thought was a wise move for me personally. I think there probably are CF patients that go on into those career paths. And again, if that's what they're passionate about and that's what they want to pursue, I think that that's great. And then in which case it probably does make sense to disclose.
Yeah, disclose that you have cystic fibrosis. Yes, I'm a nurse, but I also have CF. My patients need to be aware that I'm going to have this infection.
Right.
So I think, I think what we're getting at here is that it's probably important to understand the career that you're going into.
Certainly.
And, you know, how you disclose it, that's really the question, the basis of where this question comes from, how or when.
And I think it's important to acknowledge, too, that there are, I know a few CF patients that are at 9-to-5 jobs and they are balancing it, you know, whether they're bringing a portable nebulizer in or, you know, getting their treatments in on their lunch break. It's certainly doable. And as long as you're able to balance, you know, and obviously time management is something that I feel like CF patients get to right away in life is something that comes into play all the more when you're a working adult.
Yeah, I mean, I can say that almost every real job that I've had, whether it's BEF or high school athletics or whatever else I've done, I've had a few other jobs here and there. But it just hasn't been a second thought to me whether or not I'm going to bring my treatments to the workplace because I know there's days when I have to do it. I have to do an extra neb in the middle of the day, or I have to do an IV injection or an infusion or something of that matter in the middle of the day. I like to do home IVs for that reason. I like to be able to still be productive despite being sick.
Yeah. And I think that that is doable. I mean, you're like anyone that is working and living and adulting.
Yeah, exactly.
With CF is an example of
that. And that's something where, let's put it this way. I'm not going to bring an IV to the office if I haven't told my boss or any single other person in there that I have CF. I mean, that could totally terrify somebody.
Right.
If I do tell them that I have CF and I do, for whatever reason, happen to get sick and I have to go on IVs and I bring an IV to the office or whatever to the office, everyone, not only does it give them peace of mind, it gives me peace of mind because they know what I'm doing. See what I'm saying? I do think that, you know, there is a relationship that exists between colleagues, and in many ways, it's one of those things where if you can feel comfortable with each other, you can probably work at a higher level, or you can, your output can be higher, or your
efficiency.
Exactly, your efficiency is better. So I do think that there are plenty of benefits that come to disclosing your CF to your coworkers. The way I look at it is also very similar to the way I did it in college.
Yeah, I was just thinking school.
Yeah, so thinking. I as soon as I went to BC, I invoked the Americans with Disabilities Act. I went to the Dean of Students with Disabilities, and we discussed the Americans with Disabilities Act, which passed whenever it was. I think it was the 80s. And we discussed it, and we talked about what that meant for me as someone with CF. And we made it abundantly clear to my professors, the rest of the administration, whether it be the housing department, the whatever other department in Boston College that had the infirmary, for example, had to know that I had CF. And they made it as, I wouldn't say easy, but they made it as pain-free as possible for me to succeed as a student at BC.
Yeah, and I did the same at Fordham. And I mean, in that case, I always do recommend that students do disclose immediately, only so that when you get into a pinch, whether you're fighting an infection or you have to be hospitalized or use IVs, then you're not kind of chasing your tail. Like, you're not going backwards in this cycle. You're already there and you're covered and you can keep moving forward in your college career. And I think that is important in that case to disclose as soon as possible, because there are these benefits.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's benefits to letting everyone know.
Yeah.
And I felt and beyond that, I felt the same way with the kids that were going to school with me, like my peers. You know, I made it clear that I had cystic fibrosis on night one of college.
Yeah.
I opened my door and a bunch of kids came in. We just started talking. And the next thing you know, it was 8 o'clock. Right before we were about to go to dinner, I was like, oh, I have to do my treatments. And I just did them in front of 9 new people, because one of them was my roommate who I had known. And I did it in front of all these new people. And it was a little awkward at first, but they knew.
Right.
And by them knowing right away, it eliminated any of the awkwardness of having a secret or lying.
Right. Yeah. And so, there are certainly benefits to that. For
exactly.
Sure.
So I think there are a lot of benefits to disclosing CF. I've always advocated for that, but I do understand why there are certain situations where people don't want to. Really, it depends on the job, but like I said, I think it's important to be upfront and fair with your employer. Obviously, that person is employing you.
Right.
Right. And it's also important to have a good relationship with your supervisor.
Yeah, and perhaps, you know, it is when you were saying the interviewing and they're the same candidate and one has CF and one doesn't. And maybe that is a case where you don't disclose until you have the job offer. And I understand that. It's kind of like, I mean, you equated dating to a job interview.
Yeah, I did.
And I'm thinking about that now. Like, I personally don't disclose that I have CF until I know that person could potentially care. You know, like,
yeah, I mean,
I'm not going to be that vulnerable.
Exactly. It's important to know your boss or supervisor could be sympathetic to it.
Right. Exactly.
You know, you don't want to go in there and on day one be like, oh, by the way, thanks for hiring me. I have cystic fibrosis. I might have to miss a month or two.
Yeah.
That's not the way to handle it.
Good way to start it. Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's important to handle it in a situation where, you know, perhaps there's days where they let you work at home, or there's days when they know you're going to be sick.
Which is all the more popular.
During cold and flu season, you know, do you have flexibility to do what you can do on your own time, when you have time? You know, like I personally am most productive during the day when I'm doing my treatments, whether that is at, you know, 7 or 8 in the morning, or that is in the middle, or at 9 or 10 at night. I find that those two moments during the day, that is when I am most in tune to answering emails and getting things done. Obviously, 9 or 10 is after business hours, but I am still very, very productive during that time, especially with my job at BEF, because Well, I'm in the CF mode at that moment. I'm thinking about CF, and with my job specifically, that's something that is important. So I do find that I'm sure people hate me for sending out emails at 9 or 10 at night, but that's something that I do, and it's something that I do because that's the way that I'm geared to think, and I've programmed myself over the many years of going to school and college. I always did homework or studied or whatever while I was doing treatments because that's a good way to be productive during those 2 hour time periods.
And I think it's something that's in our favor at this, era of technology and working from home anyway, that, setting those days up for yourself, is something that would probably be fairly acceptable, in this workforce environment. Currently, I mean, obviously not in every job. You can't be a doctor and work from home, but there are a lot of workforce that is very, you can work from home. There's a lot of options for that. And
it goes back to choosing your career based on what you think you can do as a person.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. I think it also comes back to time management. And that's something, again, I think we learn in high school and college. And that actually leads me to our Making It Matter this week, because talk about time management. There is a high school student named Olivia in Lancaster, Pennsylvania at Garden Spot High School. She plays 3 sports while in high school, while battling CF, which
is... Did you play 3 sports in high school?
Crazy. No.
Did you play any sports in high school?
I had a brief stint where I played field hockey, but I was a dancer, so I was in the dance studio every night. But no, not three sports. Not basketball, volleyball, and lacrosse. Okay, that's... And some of those seasons, I think all of those seasons overlap. That's what's so impressive about Olivia. And she has raised over $250,000 for CF. And there's a great write-up that Gunnar will put up on our blog post and podcast post on Olivia and all that she is doing to raise awareness and funds and also just kicking butt with CF. Go Olivia.
Yes, awesome job, Olivia. So that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for the 22nd episode of Making It Matter. And if you do have anything you want to add to the conversation about jobs with CF or the workplace CF, let us know. We want to know, have you ever had a job where you didn't tell somebody that you had CF, and did it end up poorly or did it end up positively? We want to know. Yeah. Because obviously Julie and I only have our experiences to weigh on. I've had, like we said, we've had instances where we both told and have not told our employers that we've had CF, and that's sort of how we've gotten here today. So we want to know what you've done. Let us know. Awesome job, Olivia. And remember, you can follow along with our weekly podcast via my YouTube channel on GunnarSiason.com, JuliaRay.com, and also iTunes. Yes, remember to subscribe to iTunes. Do that. Give us a good review. And Instagram, which Julia is not doing a great job with.
I'm going to today. I'm going to Instagram today.
You said that every episode.
For the past three episodes. And you can follow us on Facebook and send us messages and comments. Please do. We love hearing from you. These questions have been so great, so don't be afraid to ask.
They give us good topics, like today.
Yeah.
That was a perfect topic. It came from a comment on my website. So do that. Really good job. And that's it. So
see you next week.
Did we already say Happy New Year? We did say Happy New Year.
Oh,
Yeah, we did that already. Okay.
Yeah, we're too excited.
At what point do you stop saying Happy New Year? Like,
now.
I think it's now. Yeah, we're already 2 weeks in. So stop saying Happy New Year to people. It's done. We're already in this. It's over. But this is Gunnar Siason and Julia Ray signing off.
Bye.